President Zelensky will go to the White House to have a talk with President Biden. And Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine. Let's talk about what's going to happen today. And also, Joe, there seems to be more skepticism in the United States about Ukraine's victory plans, the idea that this is a war of attrition coming under some scrutiny now. What are you hearing?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv, and still a bit of a struggle at times to get an internet connection here due to the Russian attacks on Ukrainian infrastructure. And it's also been really since the middle of the night, many hours of air raid alarms throughout the country. I can't even count how many we've had here in Lviv. Sometimes the all clear alarm will sound, and then a few minutes later, the alarm comes back on again. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, I was talking with people at a cafe when that was happening, and people just kind of smile and laugh, even though we knew that the reports that the Russians had launched Kinzhal hypersonic missiles, their fastest missiles, were launched upon Ukraine today and doing their usual dance macabre, turning different directions. It seems that they're hitting things kind of in the interior west of the country, not as far as Lviv, but they're not hitting cities today, which means they're probably looking for infrastructure or military targets. And, you know, as we look at the situation with the United Nations, the meeting in New York, and then what's happening in Washington, we see a congealing of a strong stance for Ukraine among other countries. And we see, I think, a weakening in the U.S. For example, Javier Milei, who's the fairly new president of Argentina, in his speech to the United Nations, I guess it was last night, he said, Argentina traditionally has been neutral. He said, we are not neutral anymore under his leadership. He said, Argentina stands firmly with Ukraine and with Israel and with Taiwan. And so we see other nations that usually have sort of been on the sidelines of such global affairs, saying that this really, you know, freedom needs to be defended. Ukraine needs to be defended. And in the U.S., though, this is ambiguous. And the Biden administration did announce today that they will release several more billions in funding for Ukraine. And, you know, here's where we can sort of see maybe the silliness, the complexities of American politics. So the headlines say that, oh, it's more billions for Ukraine, which is precisely the thing that Donald Trump, for example, at his rally yesterday in Mint Hill, North Carolina, or, Tucker Carlson and other detractors of Ukraine, they're saying that they're sick and tired of all this money being spent. And at the same time, the White House says they're sending more, but that's not actually accurate. The White House is simply approving the use of money that Congress already approved of. So in other words, when we think of the billions that's been allegedly allocated to Ukraine, this is not something new. This is already within those billions. But because the White House is not careful in how they say that, it becomes easy fodder for the opposition to Ukraine and the United States. And it's really unfair to Ukraine. And furthermore, you know, it's not additional, it's not new, it's not actual dollars that are, you know, being stuffed into Zelensky's pockets, which is what Trump was trying to suggest yesterday in North Carolina. It's actually the valuation of old equipment, because the United States does not send Ukraine new stuff. It's always old stuff, even the F-16s. It's older gear and weapons. And then some of that money is also used for to buy American new weapons. And so we see from the administration an unwillingness to be precise in their spending and their plans for Ukraine, which only right now is serving to fuel the opposition led by Trump. And so on the American side, Ukraine is getting beaten up, I think, pretty heavily on the public relations side, even as leaders in South America, leaders in Europe are rallying even more strongly to Ukraine's cause.
Yeah, I think because right now there doesn't appear to be a shared vision of what a victory plan would look like in Ukraine. That, along with Putin's continued nuclear warnings, and then the question about the money and breaking it down, to get to the real fact that you present, it's quite a controversy now, Joseph. Let me share a couple of messages from listeners on the text line. I love the soldiers' music in Joseph's report, especially the first song. It ends with a word that means "I shall win." And a question for you: how do you reach out to the Ukrainian singing soldiers while they're in the United States? Can we do that? Is there a way?
Yeah, well, the easiest way, if you follow me at JP Lindsley on Twitter or YouTube or Instagram at JP Lindsley, I will be sharing their stories every step of the way. And in fact, I wanted to, if we have time, share the snippet, because yesterday they played at a church in North Carolina. Today they're going to University of Chapel Hill, of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. They also played this morning at a high school. They are playing at a high school in Charlotte. But last night they stopped at my parents' house. It was very surreal to see these, to have the Zoom call with 12 Ukrainian musician soldiers, some of whom were wounded in battle. And here's a little snippet, including the opera singer who lost his leg singing Georgia. We'll hear that wonderful Ukrainian instrument, the bandura, which has 62 strings. And they, at the end, you can hear them as they were serenading my grandmother on her birthday. So here's a little clip of the cultural forces last night in North Carolina.
They're really good, aren't they?
Yeah, really, you know, from different genres of music. And, you know, keep in mind, some of these guys have really seen, you know, the hell of war, but they still have that spirit in their voice. And that instrument, the bandura, has 62 strings, which, as one of the musicians was, my dad was asking them about that. And they say, well, you need a lot of strings to capture the range of the Ukrainian soul. Hmm. They said the Russians have an instrument that only has three strings. Which is too many, the soldier said, but for the Russians. But the bandura has 62. And that last song, Manol Hailita, which they sang for my grandmother for her birthday, it means many summers. And that's a traditional Ukrainian greeting on someone's birthday, Manol Hailita, many summers, which also resonates now as Ukrainians hope for some kind of summer of victory one day.
Yes, winter is coming. And those social media addresses, by the way, that Joseph mentioned, are all posted. Just go to WGNRadio.com on our Surratt Show page. Joseph, thank you for bringing us some of that Ukrainian soul this morning.
Yeah, all together.